Chapter 50. And if he can, my life has been embittered by that kind of person. If you are able to tell of a special distinction that has fallen to your lot, it gravels them, they cannot bear it, and they try to make believe that the thing you took for a special distinction was nothing of the kind, and was meant in quite another way. Once I was received in private audience by an emperor. Last week I was telling a jealous person about it, and I could see him wince under it, see him bite, see him suffer. I revealed the whole episode to him with considerable elaboration and nice attention to detail. When I was through, he asked me what had impressed me most. I said, His Majesty's delicacy. They told me to be sure, and back out from the presence, and find the doorknob as best I could. It was not allowable to face around. Now the Emperor knew it would be a difficult ordeal for me, because of lack of practice. And so, when it was time to part, he turned, with exceeding delicacy, and pretended to fumble with things on his desk, so I could get out in my own way, without his seeing me. It went home. It was vitriol. I saw the envy and disgruntlement rise in the man's face. He couldn't keep it down. I saw him try to fix up something in his mind, to take the bloom off that distinction. I enjoyed that, for I judged that he had his work cut out for him. He struggled along inwardly for quite a while, then he said, with a manner of a person who has to say something, and hasn't anything relevant to say. You said he had a handful of special brand cigars on the table? Yes, I never saw anything to match them. I had him again. He had to fumble around in his mind as much as another minute before he could play. Then he said in as mean a way as I ever heard a person say anything. He could have been counting the cigars, you know. I cannot endure a man like that. It is nothing to him how unkind he is, so long as he takes the bloom off. It is all he cares for. An Englishman or other human being does dearly love a lord or other conspicuous person. It includes us all. We love to be noticed by the conspicuous person. We love to be associated with such, or with a conspicuous event, even in a seventh-rate fashion, even in the 47th, if we cannot do better. This accounts for some of our curious tastes in mementos. It accounts for the large private trade in the Prince of Wales' hair, which chambermaids were able to drive in that article of commerce, when the prince made the tour of the world in the long-ago hair which probably did not always come from his brush, since enough of it was marketed to refurnish a bald comet. It accounts for the fact that the rope which lynches a Negro in the presence of 10,000 Christian spectators is saleable 5 minutes later at $2 an inch. It accounts for the mournful fact that a royal personage does not venture to wear buttons on his coat in public. We do love a lord, and by that term I mean any person whose situation is higher than our own. The lord of the group, for instance. A group of peers, a group of millionaires, a group of hoodlums, a group of sailors, a group of newsboys, a group of saloon politicians, a group of college girls. No royal person has ever been the object of a more delirious loyalty and slavish adoration than is paid by the vast Tammany herd to its squalid idol in Wantage. There is not a bifurcated animal in that menagerie that would not be proud to appear in a newspaper picture in his company. At the same time, there are some in that organization who would scoff at the people who have been daily pictured in company with Prince Henry, and would say vigorously that they would not consent to be photographed with him, a statement which would not be true in any instance. There are hundreds of people in America who would frankly say to you that they would not be proud to be photographed in a group with the prince, if invited. And some of these unthinking people would believe it when they said it, yet in no instance would it be true. We have a large population, but we have not a large enough one, by several millions, to furnish that man. He has not yet been begotten, and in fact he is not begettable. You may take any of the printed groups, and there isn't a person in the dim background who isn't visibly trying to be vivid. If it is a crowd of 10,000, 10,000 proud, untamed Democrats, horny-handed sons of toil and of politics, and flyers of the eagle, there isn't one who is trying to keep out of range, there isn't one who isn't plainly meditating a purchase of the paper in the morning, with the intention of hunting himself out in the picture, and of framing and keeping it, if he shall find, so much of his person, in it as his starboard ear. We all love to get some of the drippings of conspicuousness, and we will put up with a single, humble drip, if we can't get any more. We may pretend otherwise, in conversation, but we can't pretend it to ourselves privately, and we don't. We do confess in public that we are the noblest work of God, being moved to it by long habit, and teaching, and superstition. But deep down in the secret places of our souls we recognize that, if we are the noblest work, the less said about it the better. We of the North poke fun at the South for its fondness of titles, a fondness for titles pure and simple, regardless of whether they are genuine or pinchbeck. We forget that whatever a Southerner likes the rest of the human race likes, and that there is no law of predilection lodged in one people that is absent from another people. There is no variety in the human race. We are all children of the one Adam, and we love toys. We can soon acquire that Southern disease, if someone will give it a start. It already has a start, in fact. I have been personally acquainted with over 84,000 persons who, at one time or another in their lives, have served for a year or two on the staffs of our multitudinous governors, and through that fatality, have been generals temporarily, and colonels temporarily, and judge advocates temporarily. But I have known only 9 among them who could be hired to let the title go when it ceased to be legitimate. I know thousands and thousands of governors who ceased to be governors away back in the last century, but I am acquainted with only 3 who would answer your letter if you failed to call them over nor in it. I know acres and acres of men who have done time in a legislature in prehistoric days, but among them is not half an acre whose resentment you would not raise if you addressed them as R, instead of on. The first thing a legislature does is to convene in an impressive legislative attitude and get itself photographed. Each member frames his copy and takes it to the woods and hangs it up in the most aggressively conspicuous place in his house. And if you visit the house and fail to inquire what that accumulation is, the conversation will be brought around to it by that aforetime legislator, and he will show you a figure in it which in the course of years he has almost obliterated with the smut of his finger marks, and say with a solemn joy, "It's me." Have you ever seen a country congressman enter the hotel breakfast room in Washington with his letters? And sit at his table, and let on to read them? And wrinkle his brows, and frown statesmanlike? Keeping a furtive watch out over his glasses all the while to see if he is being observed and admired? Those same old letters which he fetches in every morning? Have you seen it? Have you seen him show off? It is the sight of the national capital. Except one, a pathetic one. That is the ex-congressman. The poor fellow whose life has been ruined by a 2-year taste of glory and of fictitious consequence, who has been superseded and ought to take his heartbreak home and hide it, but cannot tear himself away from the scene of his lost little grandeur, and so he lingers, and still lingers, year after year, unconsidered, sometimes snubbed, ashamed of his fallen estate, and valiantly trying to look otherwise. Dreary and depressed, but counterfeiting breeziness and gaiety, hailing with chummy familiarity, which is not always welcomed, the more fortunes who are still in place, and were once his mates. Have you seen him? He clings piteously to the one little shred that is left of his departed distinction, the privilege of the floor, and works it hard, and gets what he can out of it. That is the saddest figure I know of. Yes, we do so love our little distinctions. And then we loftily scoff at a prince for enjoying his larger ones, forgetting that, if we only had his chance, Senator is not a legitimate title. A senator has no more right to be addressed by it than have you or I. But in the several state capitals and in Washington, there are 5,000 senators who take very kindly to that fiction, and who purr gratefully when you call them by it, which you may do quite unrebuked. Then those same senators smile at the self-constructed majors and generals and judges of the South. Indeed, we do love our distinctions, get them how we may, and we work them for all they are worth. In prayer we call ourselves orms of the dust, but it is only on a sort of tacit understanding that the remark shall not be taken at par. We worms of the dust. Oh, no, we are not that. Except in fact, and we do not deal much in fact when we are contemplating ourselves. As a race, we do certainly love a lord, let him be croaker, or a duke, or a prize fighter, or whatever other person it shall chance to be the head of our group. Many years ago, I saw a greasy youth in overalls standing by the Herald office, with an expectant look in his face. Soon a large man passed out, and gave him a pat on the shoulder. That was what the boy was waiting for, the large man's notice. The pat made him proud and happy, and the exultation inside of him shone out through his eyes. And his mates were there to see the pat, and envy it and wish they could have that glory. The boy belonged down cellar in the press room, the large man was king of the upper floors, foreman of the composing room. The light in the boy's face was worship, the foreman was his lord, head of his group. The pat was an accolade. It was as precious to the boy as it would have been if he had been an aristocrat's son, and the accolade had been delivered by his sovereign with a sword. The quintessence of the honor was all there. There was no difference in values. In truth, there was no difference present except an artificial one, clothes. All the human race loves a lord, that is, loves to look upon, or be noticed by the possessor of power or conspicuousness. And sometimes animals, born to better things and higher ideals, descend to man's level in this matter. In the Jardin des Plantes I have seen a cat that was so vain of being the personal friend of an elephant that I was ashamed of her. Extracts from Adam's Diary, Monday. This new creature with the long hair is a good deal in the way. It is always hanging around and following me about. I don't like this. I am not used to company. I wish it would stay with the other animals. ... Cloudy today, wind in the east. Think we shall have rain. ... We? Where did I get that word? The new creature uses it. Tuesday. Been examining the great waterfall. It is the finest thing on the estate, I think. The new creature calls it Niagara Falls. Why, I am sure I do not know. Says it looks like Niagara Falls. That is not a reason, it is mere waywardness and imbecility. I get no chance to name anything myself. The new creature names everything that comes along, before I can get in a protest. And always that same pretext is offered, it looks like the thing. There is a dodo, for instance. Says the moment one looks at it one sees at a glance, that it looks like a dodo. It will have to keep that name, no doubt. It wearies me to fret about it, and it does no good, anyway. Dodo. It looks no more like a dodo than I do. Wednesday. Built me a shelter against the rain, but could not have it to myself in peace. The new creature intruded. When I tried to put it out, it shed water out of the holes it looks with, and wiped it away with the back of its paws, and made a noise such as some of the other animals make when they are in distress. I wish it would not talk. It is always talking. That sounds like a cheap fling at the poor creature, a slur, but I do not mean it so. I have never heard the human voice before, and any new and strange sound intruding itself here upon the solemn hush of these dreaming solitudes offends my ear, and seems a false note. And this new sound is so close to me. It is right at my shoulder, right at my ear, first on one side, and then on the other, and I am used only to sounds that are more or less distant from me. Friday. The naming goes recklessly on, in spite of anything I can do. I had a very good name for the estate, and it was musical and pretty Garden of Eden. Privately, I continue to call it that, but not any longer publicly. The new creature says it is all woods and rocks and scenery, and therefore has no resemblance to a garden. Says it looks like a park, and does not look like anything but a park. Consequently, without consulting me, it has been new named Niagara Falls Park. This is sufficiently high-handed, it seems to me. And already there is a sign up. Keep off the grass, my life is not as happy as it was. Saturday. The new creature eats too much fruit. We are going to run short, most likely. E again, that is its word. Mine too, now, from hearing it so much. Good deal of fog this morning. I do not go out in the fog myself. This new creature does. It goes out in all weathers, and stumps right in with its muddy feet. And talks. It used to be so pleasant and quiet here. Sunday. Pulled through. This day is getting to be more and more trying. It was selected, and set apart last November as a day of rest. I had already 6 of them per week before. This morning found the new creature trying to claw apples out of that forbidden tree. Monday. The new creature says its name is Eve. That is all right, I have no objections. Says it is to call it by when I want it to come. I said it was superfluous then. The word evidently raised me in its respect, and indeed it is a large, good word and will bear repetition. It says it is not an it is a she. This is probably doubtful, yet it is all one to me. What she is, were nothing to me, if she would, but go by herself and not talk. Tuesday. S.E. has littered the whole estate with execrable names and offensive signs. This way to the whirlpool, this way to Goat Island, Cave of the Winds this way, she says this park would make a tidy summer resort, if there was any custom for it. Summer resort, another invention of hers, just words, without any meaning. What is a summer resort? But it is best not to ask her, as he has such a rage for explaining. Friday. As he has taken to beseeching me to stop going over the falls. What harm does it do? Says it makes her shudder. I wonder why. I have always done it, always liked the plunge, and coolness. I supposed it was what the falls were for. They have no other use, that I can see, and they must have been made for something. She says they were only made for scenery like the rhinoceros and the mastodon. I went over the falls in a barrel not satisfactory to her. Gutenberg edition. End of chapter.